So let's start the shir. Tonight's shir is on Parsha Shemos, and the title tonight is Moshe's Reaction to the Burning Bush, to the Sedat. So tonight we're going to look through several psukim in Parak Gimel in our Parsha, and we're going to try to analyze based on a Gemara, some Midrashim. There's a very deep point about Moshe's personality in terms of, or vis-a-vis, his reaction to the Sedat. So let's read some psukim inside. And we'll start with Pasuk Aleph. Shmos Perak Gimel Pasuk Aleph. It says, "U'Moshe yaroes son Yisroel chosno kohen midyan vayin hages atzon achar midbar vayavo el har halokim choreva." So Moshe was living in Midyan, and he was a shepherd of the tzon of the flock of Yisro, and he brings them out to the desert, and he ends up encountering har halokim choreva. So he ends up encountering Har Sinai. Vayera malach Hashem elav b'labas esh mitoch asneh, vayar v'nei asneh bo'er ba'esh v'asneh einenu ukal. What happens is that there's an angel there that appears within a flame of a burning bush, from within a bush, and he saw that this bush was burning, but the bush itself was not being consumed. Vayera Moshe asura na v'ereh samareh gadol zeh madu lo yivar asneh. So Moshe was intrigued by this. We're in Pasuk Gimel, in source number one. Moshe was intrigued, and he says, "Oh, let me see what's going on over there. It's interesting that this bush is on fire, yet it's not being consumed. So how does that work?" We're in Pasuk Dalet. Vayar Hashem kisar leros, vayikra elov Elokim mitoch asneh, vayomer Moshe, vayomer hineni. So Hashem saw that Moshe turned towards the sneh, and he calls out from the sneh, "Moshe, Moshe," and Moshe says, I'm here I am." Vayomer al tikrav halom shalni alecha me'araglecha ki amakom asher ata umed alav ad mas kodeshu. And the response is that Moshe should take his shoes off because this land is very special and holy. Vayomer, and we're in Pasuk Vav, Vayomer anochi elokei avicha, elokei Avraham, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov, vayaster Moshe panav ki yarei mehabit el ha'elokim. So Hashem says, "I am the God of your forefathers." And Moshe hides his face because he's scared to stare or to look at God, at El Ha'elokim. So the psukim at the beginning of Parak Gimel tell us the story of Moshe and the sneh, and it tells us how Moshe encountered the sneh, and the sneh calls out to him. But then in Pasuk Vav, which is going to be the key component of our shir, what is Moshe's reaction when he finds out that it's Hashem? He hides his face because he's scared to stare at Hashem, to look at the burning bush. So the question is, what's the nature of this reaction, i.e. the title of this year, Moshe's Reaction to the Burning Bush? How do we? What's the idea of him reacting in this way? Why did Moshe hide his face? Because he was scared. So we're going to try to analyze that idea. Before we analyze it, there's a very interesting medrash on that, and a machlokes as to whether Moshe was really doing the right thing or the wrong thing. But before we get into that, that philosophical debate, why don't we look at Rashi that leads up to that pasuk? So if you look in source number two, let's just get some shot. Achar midbar, l'yisrachik bin agezosh l'yiru b'sados ocherim. So Moshe had taken the flock of Yisro to the midbar, to the desert, so that he wouldn't steal from others. El har elokim al shem asid. So it wasn't called the mountain of God at that point, but in the future it will be. So it's the Torah is referring to what its name will be in the future. Bilabas Esh, we're in Pasuk Beis in Rashi. Bishalheves Esh, Libo Shel Esh. So this occurred within the flames, within the heart of the flames. And there's other psukim. Kamo Lev HaShemayim, B'Lev HaOlav, Altisma LaTov. So don't be worried about the fact that there's a tuf there. Sheyesh Lanu Kiyotzebo Ma Mula Libatech. So you have another case where Lev has a tuf to it. So it just means the heart of the fire. So this malach appeared within the heart of the fire of the burning bush. Mitoch asnev lo ilan acher. So why was it a bush and not another tree? Mishum imo anochi vitzara. So I am with them in pain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to reflect an idea there. We're not really going to get into it, but the whole concept of the burning bush was the concept of imo anochi vitzara, that Hashem is with us in our tzara. It's not like he's unaffected by our tzara. Okay, but we're not going to get into that. So it says ukal nechal, so the sneh was not consumed, and then we're in Pasuk Gimel asura na asura mikan leskarv sham. So Moshe was intrigued by the burning bush, and he goes towards it in order to get close to it, and the response was shall take off your shoes, shalof vehotze, remove them, take off your shoes. Okay, so this is just the background information of Rashi. So up to this point, Rashi's just giving us the pshat. That Moshe saw this this sneh, Hashem calls out to him, Moshe comes closer, Hashem tells him to take off his shoes, and then when we get to Pasuk Vav, it says that Moshe's reaction was that he hid his face, Vayaster Moshe panav, ki yarei mi'abit al elokim, because he was afraid to look at God, to stare at God. So let's look at the Medrash on this, and we'll get into this this idea of what Moshe was trying to express by hiding his face. So it says in the Medrash, Vayomer anochi elokei avicha, Melamed shenigla lav kikolah shel Amram Aviv. So first interesting point is that when Hashem called out to Moshe, when he said, Moshe, Moshe, he was using the voice of Amram. Kadesh lo yisyare, so that Moshe wouldn't be afraid. So Moshe, instead of Hashem just creating an artificial voice, he used the voice of Amram to lure Moshe in so that Moshe wouldn't be afraid of the burning bush. Uva osa shah, sameach Moshe. So Moshe got very happy. Amar, Amram avikayam. Amram, my father, is still alive. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo avicha ani, elokei avicha, elokei Avraham, befisom eni ba'alecha, kadesh lo tisyare. So once Moshe is lured in by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem reveals himself. So the first question of the shir is, what was the purpose, or why did Hashem really have to do this? Why did he really have to use the kol of Amram? He could have used a soothing kol, any kol, but yet he chose the kol of Amram so that Moshe wouldn't be afraid. So what was the fear that Moshe would be afraid? And also, why did he have to use this voice? But then let's get into the essence of the shir. But osa shav vayaster Moshe panav. So at that moment, when Moshe realized that Hashem was speaking to him from the burning bush, and this was a nevuah, so vayaster Moshe panav, so Moshe hid his face. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha ata chalakta li kavod. So by my life, or by your life, you have given me, or shown me respect. V'gam ani achalek lecha kavod. So too, I'm going to show you respect. Shenamar, as it says, v'ra'u b'nei Yisrael es p'nei Moshe. So the Jews saw, this is referring to when Moshe, we'll see in the Gemara, but Moshe, his face lit up after the whole experience of being on Har Sinai with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Luchos, and his face lit up, and the people saw that his face lit up, so that was the schar, that was the reward for Moshe hiding his face. So the Medrash is saying that Moshe really did the right thing by hiding his face, and the reward was that the people respected him because his face had lit up. And then it also says, Atalya Resa Mehabit El Elokim, you also were afraid to stare at God, the Gab B'nei Yisrael Yiru Mehabit El Panecha, and so too, the Jews will be afraid to look at your face. Kimosha Amar Vayiru Migeshese Love. They were scared to approach Moshe when his face was lit up. Okay, so the Medrash says two things. One is that by the Sneh story, Hashem uses the voice of Amram, so we're going to have to explain that, and we will explain that in the Shir. But the second question, or the second idea, is that Moshe really was rewarded for his response, his reaction. And what was his reaction? His reaction was to hide his face, and the reward was that his face was lit up, and in two ways, the Klal Yisrael showed him respect, and they were also afraid of him. So again, we have to understand what exactly was the perfection of Moshe hiding his face. We have to explain that. And also, what's this type of reward? What does one have to do with the other? What is the concept of Moshe's face being lit up and the Jews respecting him or fearing him? Why was that important for Moshe to get? Or what's the idea there? What type of schar is that to Moshe that he got that? So we'll explain that. Okay, so just to go a little further, and now we're going to complicate things even more, and then I'll summarize. So if anybody's lost, just ask me to summarize again. But and if anybody has any questions, as usual, just stop me or just just take off your mute buttons and just ask. Okay, so let's go to the Gemara over here in source number 4, and we're going to complicate it, but it's very interesting. So when Moshe wanted to know God, the Rambam describes it as knowing God to the heights of man's ability to know God. He wanted to know God like he wanted to identify him in his mind like a friend, so to speak, the way that a person would be able to identify a friend. So he wanted that type of knowledge. And in the pasuk over there, and we're in source number 4, the Gemara's Bracha, Zayin Amud Aleph, it says, Vayomer lo sucha lirosas panai. So Hashem says to Moshe, you cannot see my face. So Tana Mishmeder of Yeshua ben Karcha, so it was taught in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Kach Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So Hashem said to Moshe, Kishiratzisi lo ratzisa. When I wanted to show you my face, you didn't want to see my face. Achshav she'ata rotzeh, Aini Rotsa, now that you want to see my face, I don't want to show you my face. So it's funny. Look at Rashi in source number 5. He says, Kishirat Sisi Bisne. So by the story of the Sne, which is an Arab Parsha, I wanted to show you my face. I wanted to give you this knowledge. And Loratisa Shneamar Vayester Moshe Panav. But you didn't want this. You don't want the knowledge. And you hid your face. So the Gemara is criticizing Moshe for hiding his face. And then if you go back to source number 4, it says, Upliga de Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yonasan. So it's a machlokas between Rav Yeshua ben Karcha and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini. The Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yonasan, Bischar Sholosh Zacha Lesholosh. So he says that for three good things that Moshe did, he merited three rewards. Bischar Vayaster Moshe Panav. So because Moshe hid his face, Zacha Leklester Panim. So he was Zocha to his face lighting up. Bischar ki yarei, because it says that he was afraid. Zacha levayiru migashas heilav. So the zchus, the merit, was that the Jewish people were afraid to approach him. Bischar me'abitz, and from the idea of him not staring at God, zacha leutumnas Hashem yabit. He was zocha to seeing or to gaining the highest level of knowledge, not pnei Hashem, but he saw, if you look at Rashi in source number 5, lekhlester panim, sorry, upliga, it's a machlokes, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha shema nishu akach, ad Rav Shmuel ha-shamar kibos tchar al zeh. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara whether Moshe hiding his face, he was punished for that, meaning by hiding his face he lost an opportunity to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to gain this high level of knowledge, or he was actually rewarded for his reaction. And what was the reward? So Rashi says, lekhlester panim, ki karan or panav. So one reward was that his face lit up, and the second was that the people were afraid of him. And the third one is Utumnas Hashem Yabit. Ze mare achorim kach shenuya b'sifri. This is the idea that Moshe saw the back of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not literally the back, because Hashem doesn't have a figure or form, but there's an idea there that Moshe had some type of knowledge of God, a high level of knowledge. Okay, fine. So it's machlokas. So machlokas is, did Moshe do the right thing when he reacted to the snat? Was he supposed to hide his face, or was he not supposed to hide his face? So according to Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, by hiding his face, he really did a bad thing. It was really a bad thing. And in fact, he was punished because there was an opportunity where Hashem was going to reveal his face to Moshe, whatever that means, his high level of knowledge. And Moshe hid his face from him. And it was lo ratzisa, you didn't want it. So now, later on, when Moshe gets older and he wants the knowledge, so Hashem says, tough noogies, you're not going to get the knowledge. So the question is, what did Moshe do that was wrong? What was the flaw here? And the other side holds, no, it's the opposite. That Moshe hiding his face from the Sneh, when he realized that Hashem was speaking to him from the Sneh, was really a great thing. And in fact, he was rewarded. So we have to understand, what's the positive of Moshe hiding his face? And also, what's the nature of these rewards? And finally, one last question. The rewards of the Gemara are different than the Medrash. The Medrash only has two things. It has the idea that his face lit up and that the people were afraid of him. But if you look in the Gemara, it also says that Bischar Mehabit, from the Schar of not staring, he was Zochet to the Tumunas Hashem Yabit. So it gives an extra reward. So why is the Gemara different than the Medrash? So that's the last question. Okay? So what's the Machlokes between the two Shitas, and how do we explain the Schar according to the Shita that it was a positive? Okay, so let's look in, let's just bolster the questions a little bit. There's a little, and then we'll get to an idea. There's a deep idea here. So if you look in the Tosfos HaRosh in source number 6, so it says, Kishoratzisi lo ratzisa. So the side that holds that Moshe was wrong is really tough to understand. It's really a hard side to understand. He says, and the Tosfos HaRosh is Klomar, Kishirhesheso liros, Masha Yisi Marasha Lecha Liros Loratisa. So when I gave you an opportunity to see what you could have seen, you didn't want to see it because you hid your face. V'achshav she'ata rotza liros kavodi eini rotza. Now that you want to see my kavod, my honor, my glory, I don't want to. V'temahu lama ha'nishu akach. So he asks one of our questions. He says, why was he punished for this? What exactly did Moshe do wrong that he was punished, that he lost an opportunity to see the Pnei Hashem? Okay, so that's the one question. And we asked that question. But the Marsha asked a sharper question on the Shita that holds that Moshe was wrong. It's a very sharp question. He says, Vayomer lo sucha leros es panai ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. So the pasuk that's quoted at the beginning of the Gemara is that Hashem says to Moshe, you can't see my face because man cannot see my face and live. It's impossible for man to see my face and live. So his question is a good question. Anybody want to anticipate the question? What's the question from that pasuk? I'll pause here if anybody wants to. What's the question based on our Gemara? So look at the Marsha. If anybody wants to stop me, go ahead. Nir Ladas Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha. We're on source number 8. So according to Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, Lule Shehister Moshe Panav Hayayachol Liros Pnei Hashem. It sounds like from the Gemara that if not for Moshe having hid his face, he would have seen the Pnei Hashem. Below Sucha Liros Panai Hainu B'Pnei Shel Ratzisa. And the reason why you can't see my face is because you didn't want to see my face. Aval Seifa Dekra, but the end of the Pasuk, Ki Lo Yirani HaAdam, it says that man cannot see God's face and live, Shehu Nesinas Tam L'Cha'ora Eina Mechuvam, which is the reason, which is giving a reason as to why Moshe can't see his face, doesn't make sense, because is it that man can't see God's face and live, or is it that Moshe, because he didn't see, or he turned away, that he wasn't zochet to seeing his face? Which one is it? Is it that it's impossible for man, that which is what the pasuk sounds like, or is it that Moshe turned it down? He says, "V'yesh li yashiv dechilo yirani ha'adam eno nesinas tam." It's not giving a reason. Eliship hirusho sha'amar le'akadosh baruch hu kach also ritzoni shelo yirani ha'adam. But rather, Hashem is saying that this is my will, that man, it's not impossible, but it became God's will that a man not be able to see this or gain this knowledge and live. Lefisha gam ata sheish lecha mali yisera kol neviim kisharatzisi lo ratzisa, because Moshe turned down the knowledge, so Hashem decided that man was not worthy of this knowledge, or man cannot live and gain this knowledge. V'chein nir lefarish medivrei shin resh. I'm not sure what this is. Ayin sham. Shmos Rabba Ayin sham. Okay, so that's how he explains it. Okay, so the Marsha asks a question. The pasuk sounds like it's impossible for man to see this knowledge, Pnei Hashem, but the Shita holds that he was punished sounds like he lost out on it because he hid his face. So which one is it? Is it that it's impossible, or is it that Moshe really lost out on it? So he tries to reconcile it, and he says, really, Moshe did have an opportunity, but because he turned it down, Hashem's will now became that man can no longer access this knowledge. So what exactly is the machlokas here? It's the same question. What's the machlokas? What did Moshe do wrong? What did Moshe do right in this situation by hiding his face? And how do we explain the machlokas here? Okay, so that's the question. So let's take up the crux. I think there's one main idea behind the machlokas. And I think somebody, I mean, it's kind of a giveaway if you read on a little bit. But the question is, what's the source of Moshe turning away? So I think both sides hold that it's the same Mida, the same characteristic that was really unique to Moshe. And the characteristic is pointed out to in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis. And it's the whole story where Miriam and Aaron were speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe. So in those psukim, it says, Va'ish Moshe anav me'od, mikol adam asher al pnei adama. So Moshe was the most humble person amongst all men on the earth. So one of the key personality traits of Moshe was his humility. And Moshe had this fantastic, incredible sense of humility, and no man was ever able to achieve the level of humility that Moshe achieved. And if you look at the Ramban explains the nature of the anivus of Moshe. So he says, Lahagid ki Hashem kana lo ba'avur in van sanuso. So Hashem was defending Moshe to Aaron, and he wanted Moshe because of Moshe's humility. Ki hu lo ya'anel riv le'olam afim yada. So Moshe would never fight with Aaron and Miriam, and he would never fight back, even if he knew that they were talking about him. Rabbi Avram mefarish omer ki hu lo ya'mevakish gedula ashum adam. So the idea, according to the Ibn Ezra, is that Moshe had no desire to have any superiority over anybody else. He had no idea of competitiveness and no idea of superiority. He didn't gain any ego satisfaction from his position as a leader. So they were really chotim because they spoke about him and they didn't speak about him truthfully and for no reason. And even in the Sifri, it says that they spoke, they didn't even speak behind his back. It was in front of Moshe. Shneamar vayishma Hashem vayish Moshe anav me'od. It says that Hashem heard and Moshe was an anav, humble. El shekavash Moshe lo davar. Moshe, he conquered his own himself. Yaskir in vanasenuso shesava v'lo anam. So Moshe was very tolerant and he didn't respond to them. So the idea was that Moshe was a tremendous anav, and he had no sense of he had no sense of competitiveness, and he had no relative nature to others. He just existed in his own framework, and he didn't fight at all. The Rashbam says on this that anivus is shva ruach. It's being lowly and a savlan. I think he says a savlan, that you're tolerant. He was tolerant, and he wasn't a baal gaiva. It was the opposite of a baal gaiva. His anivus, his humility was such that he really thought of himself or saw himself in a lowly type of way, as a shval ruach. So that was, and the Rabban says that he really had no benefit or no pleasure from being in a state of leadership or being superior to his brethren or to any other person. So that was Moshe's essential midah, essential characteristic. So I believe that the idea of Moshe over here by hiding his face was really an idea of his anivus, that Moshe was in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the idea of anivus is tied to the idea of a lack of gaiva, lack of ego, and shval ruach. So he turns his face away, as if to say, I'm not worthy of this. So that's the idea of the anivus. So what exactly is the machlokas here between Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni as to whether Moshe did the right thing or the wrong thing, and as to whether he was rewarded and what the nature of that reward was? Okay, so if we look in, I found an interesting Rashi, and I think it ties into the side that Moshe was mistaken here. So if you look later on in our Parsha, in Shmos Parak Dalid, so Hashem, he keeps trying to, as the story goes on, Hashem tries to convince Moshe to be the Shliach Hashem and to take the Jews out of Egypt, and he keeps rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offers. And in source number 11, it says, Vayomer bi'adoni shlach no bi'ad tishlach. So Moshe once again says, send who you want to send. Basically, don't send me. And he rejects the offer to be the shliach, also tied to his anivus. So it says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, Vayomer, Halo Aaron achicha halevi yadati ki daber yidaber hu, v'gam hine hu yotzei likrasecha, v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. So finally, the way that Hashem gets angry, it says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. He gets angry at Moshe, and he says, Aaron knows how to speak. Fine, so you claim that you're a kavad peh, that you have trouble speaking, you have a speech impediment. So Aaron really knows how to speak, and he'll meet you and he'll join you on this journey. Okay, so if you look in the pasuk, it says that Moshe continuously rejects the offer to be the Shliach Hashem, and Hashem gets angry at Moshe. So if you look in source number 12, Hashem gets angry. It says Vayichar Af, and it says Rav Yeshua ben Karcha is the same shita actually that holds that Moshe was mistaken by the snare. So it's the same guy. Omer kol charon af shebetorah nemar bo rosham. So in general, whenever there's an anger, there's always a response. There's always an onesh of some sort. Vizelo nemar bo rosham. There was no sign here. There was no response. There was no sign of retribution on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Velo matzinu sheba onesh al yidei oso charon. And there was no onesh because of this anger. So it's interesting. Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, the same shita that holds that Moshe was wrong for hiding his face away, also holds over here that Hashem got angry at Moshe, but he says that the anger didn't result in a real onesh. He wasn't really punished. Amar lo Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi argues, Apizu ne'amar bo roshem. There was a punishment. Halo Aaron achicha Levi shaya asid yos Levi v'lo kohen v'akuna ha'isi omer latzis mimeka. So he's alluding to the idea that Moshe could have been the Kohen and Aaron the Levi, but because Moshe gave up on the Shlichus and gave up some of the Shlichus to Aaron, Aaron was Zoche to the Kuna and Moshe lost out. Me'ata lo yekein Elohuya Kohen ve'ata ha'Levi, shne'amar u'Moshe isha lokim bonav yikru al-shevet ha'Levi. Okay, fine. So what ended up happening was that Aaron became the Kohen and Moshe became the Levi. So what exactly is the flaw here? So it sounds like Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha holds that Moshe was an anav, he was a tremendous anav, and that's a fact, that's a reality. But he holds that Moshe's anivus was tied up to an emotion in these situations, and it really turned him away, or it really was harmful for him, because it prevented him from gaining knowledge. So the idea over here, if you look in source number 11, Vayomer shlach na b'yat tishlach, Vayichar af Hashem Moshe, that Hashem gets angry at Moshe, There was no onesh, because this really was a byproduct of the anivus of Moshe, that he really didn't feel like he was appropriate, that he was worthy. And the idea that he didn't feel like he was worthy was was really wrong. According to Rav Yishuv ben Karcha, this anivus of Moshe was tied to an emotion of unworthiness. And although Moshe was the greatest anav, and the greatest anav really is a person of shvar ruach, of lowliness, but sometimes there's a flaw there. And to tie up the anivus, the idea, the state of humility, with the emotion of worthlessness or unworthiness is really a flaw, according to Rav Yishuv ben Karcha. So he maintains that, and that's exactly what the Gemara is saying, that he maintains that Moshe was expressing his anivus, but it was being expressed in a flawed manner, because it was tied to the idea of an unworthiness, but it was inappropriate for him to be or to feel that way, especially when God is telling you or choosing you. So on the one hand, the anivus was a good thing, because Moshe would only be chosen or only be getting this knowledge because of his anivus. But on the other hand, the anivus was attached to an emotion of unworthiness. And the emotion of unworthiness was really negative. It was really harmful to Moshe. So he wasn't really, there was no onesh in both cases. In the case of Charon Af, that Rav Yishuv ben Karcha says there was no onesh there. And even over here, the onesh was that he lost out on knowledge. So he really wasn't punished. He, you know, nothing really happened to him physically or mentally. He wasn't damaged by this. But the idea was that Moshe's anivus was somewhat of a flaw in these situations, because you see that his anivus was tied to an emotion. It wasn't just pure anivus. It wasn't the idea of shvar ruach in a rational sense. But there was an emotion tied to it of unworthiness, that I really am unworthy of this information, of this knowledge, of this task. And the idea was that was a flaw. And on the one hand, there's a perfection. It's a complicated flaw. Because on the one hand, there's a perfection to the idea of the shvar ruach of Moshe. But on the other hand, the real shvar ruach isn't a person who feels unworthy when he really is worthy. It's a person who really knows himself and his own strengths and his own weaknesses. And Moshe's anivus was really tied to an emotion, at least at this stage in his life, and it was really negative. So according to that side, it was really a negative. The anivus of Moshe, on the one hand, was a perfection that he hid his face, but on the other hand, he should have recognized that Hashem deemed him worthy, and the anivus almost turned him away. It was a flaw in these situations, because there is an emotion of unworthiness, of a sense of insecurity that was attached to the anivus. And that's not really what anivus is. Anivus doesn't mean you're insecure. It doesn't mean that you feel unworthy emotionally. It's a rational idea. It's an idea of knowing your place, of having the correct sense of who you are relative to others. But it's not really an emotion of insecurity. So over here, Moshe is demonstrating that his anivus was there, but it was also, there was an attachment of some sort of anivus to this emotion of insecurity, to this emotion of unworthiness. And that was really the flaw here. Okay, and then, so let's go to the positive. So what's the positive side? So the positive is that Moshe really was expressing the anivus that's really appropriate, an appropriate idea of anivus. And if you look, so the Gemara says that because of three things, Moshe was rewarded in three ways. One was that he hid his face. It says, Vayaster Moshe panav, that he hid his face. And because of that, he got the light, the horns of light, which we'll see. The second is that the people were afraid of him, Vayir Migeshesei Lov. And the last idea was that Usmunas Hashem Yabit. So he was able to glean a certain amount of knowledge about God, a high level of knowledge. So according to that side, this is the Machlokas. The Machlokas is, was Moshe's Anivus here really inappropriate, because it was attached to an emotion of unworthiness and insecurity? Or was this a perfected framework or form of anivus? And that's the other side. The other side holds that it was. But what is the perfection here? Why are these the rewards? And what are the three ideas? So let's look at the solution, the schar, the reward for Moshe's anivus. And then through that, we'll be able to understand the different elements of Moshe's anivus. So if you look in source number 13, it says, Vayhi beredes Moshe mahar Sinai ushnei luchos ha'idus b'yad Moshe b'ritom min ha'aru Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav b'davaro ito. So when Moshe brought the luchos down, the second set of luchos, when he went down from Har Sinai, he didn't realize that his face had lit up. And look at Rashi in source number 14. He says, ki karan loshon karnayim. He had horns. Sha'or mavik uvole kemin karen. So they had he had horns of light that were being released from his head. Umehechan zacha Moshe l'karnei ahod. So where did Moshe get these horns? Rabbeinu Amru min ha'ma'ara, from the cave. Shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu yado al panav. Shenemar v'sachlosi k'chapi So Hashem placed his hand on Moshe's face. And because of that, Moshe's face became light. So we have to understand so Rashi's saying that it's because of this idea of Hashem placing his hand on Moshe's face. But before we saw in the Gemara that this is a schar for Moshe hiding his face. So what's the relationship between this schar and Moshe's act of anivus, of hiding his face? So then finally, I keep going. Let's go back to source number 13. It says, Vayar Arun v'chol b'nei Yisrael Moshe v'nei karan or ponav v'yiru'u migeshes elav. So all of the Jews saw that Moshe had these horns, and they were very scared. So this is the second schar of the idea of fearing Moshe. Just like it says, Kiare, that Moshe feared God, so too the people feared him. And then it says, Vayikra alehem Moshe v'yishuv elav Arun v'chol nisim v'yidav v'yidaber Moshe alehem. So Moshe spoke to them. First he spoke to Arun, and the Nesiim, Acharichein, Nikshu, Kol B'nei Yisrael, Vayitzavim, Iskol Asher Dibir Hashem Yitol B'Har Sinai. And then he taught them everything that he had learned at Har Sinai. And Vayicham Moshe Amidaber Yitam, Vayitein Al Panav Masva. When Moshe did not speak to them, he put a veil over his face to hide these horns of light. So it sounds like from the Pesukim that it wasn't a reward. It sounds like it was annoying for Moshe. He had to cover his face all the time. And then look at Lamed Dad, Lamed Hey. Uvavo Moshe lefnei Hashem udaber ito yasir samazve atse so v'yatzav v'diber al bnei Yisrael esa sher yituve. So when he would speak to people, he would take off the veil, and it says v'ru bnei Yisrael as pnei Moshe kikaron or pnei Moshe v'yishiv Moshe es samazve al panav ad ba'o udaber ito. So all the Jews recognized it, and Moshe had to constantly keep removing the veil and putting the veil back on, but all the Jews realized that his face had lit up. So what's the schar of his face lighting up and tied to the schar, or tied to the act of Moshe, Vayaster Moshe Panav? And what are these different elements? So the idea, I think, is look in the Chizkuni, in source number 15, and then we'll get to the... He says, Vayiru migesh seilav, ki lefi pshuto metchila kisharu'u v'yiru migesh seilav kisvurim shu malach. So why were they afraid of him, or what was the fear? They thought he was a malach. They thought that he was like a superhuman, that he wasn't a regular human being anymore. So what is that idea? What are the concepts here? So I think that there's three concepts to Moshe's anivos, and they're expressed or reflected in the schar. So the first concept is the idea of kavod, like the Medrash said. So the Medrash said that Moshe, by hiding his face, he really wasn't interested in respect, in his own respect at all, in his own kavod. And the Medrash, if you go back to source number three. If you go further down, it says, "Ba'osu shav vayaster Moshe panav amar lo kadosh baruch hu chayecha ata chalakta li kavod v'gamani achalek lecha kavod shenemar v'ru bnei Yisrael's pnei Moshe." So the first idea of the anivus of Moshe was that Moshe did not demand, like the Ramban says, that Moshe had no need for respect. He had no need for kavod, and so the concept was, and the second concept of yira is it says vayarei migesh. It says in the pesukim, if you go back. It says, Ki yare me'abit elokim. He was afraid. And what's the idea of Yiras Hashem? So the idea of Yiras Hashem is the idea that a person knows the true nature, the true relevance of his existence relative to God. And that's really the idea of the Yira of Moshe. So there's two elements of Moshe's anivus, of his humility. One element was his lack of need of kavod. And the second element was his constant awareness of his existence and the lowliness or the nature of his, like the Rambam says, that when a person studies nature, he becomes in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizes that he's a small creature. So Moshe had that. He was Yare. He was a Yiras. He had true Yiras Hashem. So his anivus, his humility, comprised of two main characteristics of kavod, the idea of kavod that he wasn't interested in at all, that he didn't need any human respect. And the other idea was of Yira, that he was able to realize and be aware of his lowly existence relative to God. So one is relative to man, and the other one's relative to God. So what's the concept of the schar? So the schar was that really the light of Moshe's face was an idea of reflecting the Shechinas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the concept was that Moshe was a vehicle of teaching about God and teaching ideas about God, and he was a vehicle, he was the Shliach Hashem in terms of reflecting the Shechinas Hashem. He was a walking Shechinah. So the concept is that only Moshe, what's the schar? The schar is that only an individual who wouldn't need or wouldn't seek out respect from others and know his nature, his true relative nature to God, only that person can be a vehicle of this level of Yedias Hashem, this level of Shechina. So the schar was that the anivus of Moshe allowed for this to happen. The anivus of Moshe was such that he was such a person that he didn't need any respect, any kavod, and he knew his place relative to God, that he could be a vehicle of the Shekhinah. And the light was like a malach. He was almost a higher level reflection of God, of God's creation. So Moshe was on such a high level where he could really reflect God and reflect the Shekhinah in a way where it didn't affect him at all. And he could be that vehicle. But only an individual with that type of anivus, with that type of humility, only that person could really be a vehicle of the Shekhinah. Any other person could not be that, because they would take it personally. If people respected him, they would think it's because of me. If they were afraid of him, they would think it was because of me. But Moshe, he didn't have that. He didn't have any need for respect, nor did he have any idea that his existence was necessary. So because he had that, he was able to be a vehicle of the Shekhinah, of the Ziv HaShekhinah. And that's the idea of the light. The light was really a reflection of the Ziv HaShekhinah, that everybody should see Moshe and they should immediately associate him with God and really learn ideas about God from Moshe. But finally, what's the idea of Me'abita Elohim? So the Gemara says that because he didn't stare Me'abita Elohim, so because of that, he was worthy of Utmunas Hashem Yabit. He was able to see the outside, the backside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the connection? So the last element of the anivus of Moshe was that Moshe recognized the limits of his knowledge. That he really recognized that when you stare at something, when you look at something, as opposed to just turning away, or as opposed to looking at it slightly or glancing at it. So staring is a person who feels like he can grasp it. So when you feel like you can grasp something, you stare at it. But Moshe, the idea of Mehabit Elohim was that Moshe realized at that moment, he realized the limitations of his knowledge. And because he realized that, or because he reacted in this way, he was worthy of that level of knowledge. Only a person who knows what he can understand and what he can grasp can really attain that level of knowledge. And that was Moshe. So there's three aspects of his anivus. One aspect was the idea of kavo, that he didn't demand any respect from man. The other was yiras Hashem, that he recognized his place relative to God. And the last idea was knowing the limitations of his knowledge and not trying to overreach and overgrab something that he couldn't really grasp. So those were all the elements of his anivus, and he was rewarded in these ways because of this expression of anivus. Okay, so again, there's a machlokas. So the machlokas in the Gemara is whether the anivus was appropriate, was a perfected anivus, or was it attached to the emotion of insecurity, the emotion of unworthiness. And it was very subtle. Because we can't make out Moshe to be a depressed. He wasn't a depressed, lowly person with a low self-esteem. But really, the idea was that Moshe's anivus, according to the side that he was punished, was inappropriate. It was tied to some type of emotion of unworthiness. Whereas the other side holds note that it was perfected. His turning away and his hiding his face and not looking was really a sign of his perfection and an element of the perfected anivus of Moshe. So one last point before we end the share. So we asked, what was the idea of Amram's voice? So the question was, what was the concept of Hashem using Amram's voice? So if you go to the Rabbeinu Bechaye in source number 16, so if you go four lines up, it says, V'chein darshu b'tanchuma, nigla alav b'kolo shal aviv Amram. So Hashem appeared to Moshe with the voice of his father. Samech Moshe, Amar Amram avichai. So my father's alive. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, anochi elokei avicha, b'pitoi basi elecha kadei shelo tisyari ad kan. So I didn't want to scare you. Umikan shanevim b'shas nevuasam, nefhalem v'nirsaim, utrichem pisoi kadei sheyuchlu lekabel v'lisbo hanevuah. So Rabbeinu Bechaye says that this teaches us that when a Navi gets Nevuah, he gets very afraid. It's a very fearful experience, and he needs some type of soothing, some type of psychological soothing in order to accept and tolerate the Nevuah. Shekein matzinu b'Shmuel, shenigla alav b'kolo shel Eli. So by Shmuel, the voice of Eli was used to appear to him. So it seems like it's a universal principle that the Navi has to be in the right state of mind to receive the Nevuah and to perceive it properly. And when Hashem appeared to Moshe in the Sneh, he wanted Moshe to be in the appropriate state of mind. And the idea of Amram was to put him in a state of Simcha. The Gemara says that Nevi'im would play music before they got Nevuah because they needed to be in a state of Simcha in order for them to really perceive the Nevuah properly. So the idea was that Moshe prior to his reaction, he was put in a state where he could really receive the ideas of the Nevuah properly. And then the question is, when Moshe reacts, again, that's the shir. The question was, when Moshe reacted, what was the nature of his reaction? Was his reaction positive or negative? So that's the end of the shir. So one last summary, a quick summary, because I summarized it many times. But the basic title of the shir is Moshe's reaction to the snap, to the burning bush. And we see that Moshe turns his face away. So the question is, what's the idea of turning his face away? The Gemara seems to say that there's a machlokas, whether it was good or bad. So the sheet that holds that it was bad holds that Moshe really could have seen the Pnei Hashem and he lost down on it. The Marasha says because of Moshe's decision, so Hashem realized that man couldn't tolerate this and he decides not to give this knowledge out anymore. But according to the other side holds no, that really it was a positive. So we said, what's the machlokas? So we said the machlokas is based on the nature of Moshe, that Moshe's essential nature was his anivus. And the side that holds that he did the wrong thing was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. And he also says later on, when Moshe rejects the shlichus, he says the same thing, that Hashem got angry at Moshe. Why? Because Moshe's anivus was perfection, but there was also an emotion of unworthiness tied to the anivus, and really that was really a flaw. So Moshe could, at this point in Moshe's life, he couldn't separate the anivus from the insecurity or the sense of unworthiness, and because there was a subtle reflection of that in his reaction, so he lost out on an opportunity for knowledge. But according to the other side, this really was the appropriate anivus. This is perfected anivus of Moshe, and there's three elements of the anivus. One was the concept that Moshe had no need for man's adulation. The second was that Moshe was had yiras Hashem to the point where he really saw himself as a small creature. And the last was that he knew the limitations of his knowledge, that he didn't try to go beyond the grasp of his knowledge when he was approached by a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the story of the Sneh. So that's really the end of the shir. Anybody have any questions or want to add anything to the shir, please do so. If not, everybody have a good Shabbos, and thanks for calling in. Thank you.